May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning is the gospel reading. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, what's your name? That is probably one of the most common questions we will hear in our lifetimes. If you meet somebody at a social gathering, if you are doing business with somebody new, that may be the first question you are asked. What is your name? Names are important. They label who we are. We are known by our name. Expecting parents will often think long and hard about names, what to name their child. Some may pick a family name. Some may pick a name that has special significance to them. Some may pick a biblical name or maybe a name that is popular at the time. Names are important. They define us. Names are important to God as well. He would often rename somebody that he had chosen for a specific purpose. Abram to Abraham, Jacob to Israel, Simon to Peter, for example. These names and our own names often have a meaning. But we know the old saying, a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. So what's in a name anyway? In our text, the baby born to Mary receives the name Jesus. Turns out Jesus was a fairly common name in that day. But Mary and Joseph didn't pick the name because it was popular. Instead, the Lord had commanded each of them separately what the baby would be named, Jesus, because he would save the people from their sin. Jesus is a variant of the name Joshua or Yeshua. And the name simply means the Lord saves. God is salvation. You remember Joshua from the Old Testament. He was Moses' successor in leading the people of Israel. Moses had led them out of Egypt, was leading them through the wilderness, had given them the law that God gave him at Mount Sinai, and was boldly leading them to the promised land. But there was just one problem. Moses had violated what seemed like an insignificant command of God, and was then barred from entering the promised land himself. He would not complete that journey. That task would fall to Joshua. What Moses was unable to accomplish, Joshua did. In the same way, the law that Moses gave does not accomplish salvation for us. The Israelites didn't, and we don't keep God's law perfectly. We need something else. We need our own Joshua. And so Jesus comes. Like Moses, any violation of the law, even in its most minor detail, exempts us from entry into the promised land of heaven. And so we turn to Jesus. The Lord saves. Jesus isn't the only name used to refer to the Son of God. There are other common ones this time of year. Wonderful Counselor, Emmanuel, Prince of Peace. I used to have a devotional book titled 365 Devotions on the Names of Our Lord. 365. That's a lot of names. But none more clearly describes the work of this Son of God than the name Jesus. The name that is above every other name, God is salvation. As I mentioned earlier, today is the 8th day of Christmas, 8 days after our Lord was born in Bethlehem. And this is the day when the Jews would have their baby boys circumcised, the 8th day after their birth. And of course, it should remind us of the creation account in Genesis. The Lord created the world in 6 days. And rested on the 7th day. And like weeks do, they come around back to the beginning again, back to Sunday. But I want you to think of Sunday as the eighth day, the day when Jesus rose from the dead, the day when God began to recreate everything, for in Jesus, he is making all things new. And for us Christians, ritual circumcision on the eighth day is replaced by baptism. It is through baptism that we are grafted into the family of the Lord, which also often takes place on a Sunday. Some of you may have been baptized right here in our eight-sided baptismal font, the eight sides reminding us of the eighth day, reminding us of our baptism when God created us new, when he made us new creatures, and when he gave us a new name, the name of Jesus. That name emblazoned on your forehead and on your heart, and your name written in the book of life. We became his. We have a new name, the name Christian. For we are all adopted sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, and Christ is our brother. However, to many in this world, the name of Jesus is not so pleasant sounding. The name can be a very divisive one. I read an article recently of some chaplains who pray at the Minnesota State Capitol. They say the prayer before the session begins, and quite a number of them were recently reprimanded for praying in the name of Jesus. Or consider several years ago when 35 Christians were killed in Nigeria worshiping on Christmas Day simply because they bore the name Christian. Jesus' name is a divisive one. And God does not promise that we who bear his name will have an easy life, wealth or prosperity, temporal blessings, or even freedom from suffering. Instead, Jesus says in John 15, "If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. But these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me." Truth be told, we don't always live up to the family name ourselves. As we confessed our sins at the beginning of the service, really that confession is a confession of not living up to the name which God has given us. God has exalted Christ's name above every other name, but do we always? In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Hallowed be thy name." We pray that his name would be kept holy among us, both in word and in deed. But is that always the case? Sometimes do we bow the knee to other gods instead of Jesus? For at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Let every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, but are our tongues always confessing that? Or are we sometimes embarrassed by the name, like Peter was in the Garden of Gethsemane? The problem is we kind of want to remain and retain our former identity, that name that we had before the name Christian, the name that St. Paul calls the old Adam. If we have our own name, we may think we don't need to listen to anybody else's name, because bearing the name of another means you are linked to that other, means you are responsible to someone else. Or perhaps you feel as if your new name of Christian didn't take. Maybe it didn't stick. Maybe your sins torment you, or you struggle with a particular vice. Perhaps you hold a grudge that you can't seem to forgive. Maybe you fall into depression or hopelessness. Maybe you have strained relationships with others, and all these things may cause you to wonder, what's really the power in that name of Jesus anyway? But God doesn't just give you his name in baptism and then sort of leave you to fend for yourself out in the wilderness. No, despite our sins against his name, he repeatedly and constantly returns his name and places it upon us. You heard the Old Testament lesson, the words of the benediction, the blessing that God bestowed on his people through the words of the priest. And 3 millennia later, God is still proclaiming the benediction on you through the pastor. And when we hear that benediction, God is again placing his name on you. Moses writes, "So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." And that promise is for us. Though we are Gentiles, God places his name upon us again and again, for we are Abraham's children as well. Jesus fulfilled the law by being circumcised. That first act of obedience required the shedding of his blood. And the final act of obedience to his Father upon the cross would also require his blood to be shed. This death and resurrection of Jesus is why the renaming of you at your baptism has such power and has such scope and influence. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. An earthly child, when they are born, receives all the rights and privileges of their family name. And so you and I also receive the rights and privileges of bearing Christ's name, of being in God's family. We are sons and daughters of the Creator. Jesus is our brother. We have an inheritance stored up for us in heaven. We are free from sin and death. We are promised eternal life with our Lord. And as Christians, as we bear that name, we serve one another in love. We proclaim that most wonderful name of Jesus to all the world. For you see, Christ wants everyone to be called by his name. He wants all people to belong to our family, to his family. That includes your neighbor, your relative, your coworker, anyone who doesn't know the name of Jesus, or anyone who has rejected it. Jesus died for all, that his name may be placed on them as well. So what's in a name? In the name Jesus, there is everything, for it is the salvation of God. That most holy of names bestowed upon our infant Savior is the name that we too bear. It is the name that is above every name. As the hymn writer says, "Jesus, name of wondrous love, name all other names above, unto which must every knee bow in deep humility. Jesus, name of wondrous love, human name of God above, pleading your redemption true, we flee helpless, Lord, to you." In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.